Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Good. Still resounding. Still resounding. We are 1 week left in Great Lent. And so, what is the message for today? Well, I would say that because today the church is dedicated to the life of St. Mary of Egypt, we heard about her life just a few days ago on Wednesday when we had the canon of St. Andrew created the life of St. Mary of Egypt. And so the life of St. Mary of Egypt is an amazing life. And I would say that when she was at the age of 12 years old, she left her home and she went out into the world and became a very worldly woman, engaging with men, for profit, without profit, for free. It didn't seem to make any difference to her. And so one day when she was, I'm not sure how old she was at that point, but she heard about a group of pilgrims who were going over to see the life-giving cross of the Lord in Jerusalem. And when she didn't have any money, so she figured she would earn her way on the boat and then whatever else happened afterwards as well, of what she did do. She corrupted as many men as she could possibly corrupt. And so when she got to Jerusalem, she followed them to the sepulcher where the cross was. And what happened was that as she tried to enter in to the temple where the cross, the life-giving cross was, she couldn't get in. And she tried and she tried and she tried till she was worn out. And at that point, she sort of was in desperation because everything she had ever wanted in life had come to her actually very easily, because she could do it by in her own way, in what she wanted. So what happened, though, was that she made a prayer, and she looked up at this icon of the Mother of God, and she made a prayer saying, "I will do whatever is necessary if you will let me in to venerate the precious wood of the life-giving cross of the Lord." And at that moment, she tried again, and that time she got in. And she went over and she venerated the cross. And so, as she was coming out, she looked to the icon of Mother of God and asked what it is she should do. And she was given she realized she needed to go toward the desert. So she went to the Jordan River where she washed herself and then went in to the Temple of St. John the Baptist, which was right on the border of the Jordan River. And there, that next day, she received Holy Communion and went in a boat with just a few crumbs of bread she had from the that were taken to the Antiderin, three little pieces of bread, I believe. And she went across the boat and wandered out into the desert. And there she was for the next 40 years of her life. She says that in the first 17 years that she was there, she had to fall on the ground and bite the earth and grab hold of the ground itself in order to possibly withstand the temptation to run back to her previous life. But she repented in a way that none of us maybe even have experienced this level of repentance. And she was sorry and repented for the next 40 years, you might say, until she meets Elder Zosima, who had come because he was curious as to, he is a man that had experienced perfection, the grace of the Holy Spirit in his life. He was an ascetic monk, and he had a desire to see other ways that the Lord could save people. And so he leads Elder Zosima to this hermitage where there were four other monks. And there he asked them if he could join them. They weren't used to older men coming in and asking. He seemed to be very wise in his ways, and so they let him come, and it wasn't a community. It was each individual monk kind of had their own way of their own life of living the monastic life, but they had a custom, and that was at the beginning of Great Lent at the Sunday of Forgiveness, they would go out into the desert. And there they would stay. They would take provisions enough to stay and pray and come back in time for Holy Week, which is coming soon for us. Anyway, so the long and the short of it is that that first year that he was there, he went out into the desert. And he was hoping he would run into somebody who might find there that was holy and blessed and, you know, could give him some wisdom as to how he had attained his state of virtue. But he didn't see anybody. And then finally he sees this, like, ghost of a person running away from him and didn't look like that person had a lot of clothes on. So it was Mary of Egypt. And so she asked him for his mantilla, so she could cover herself. And she begged him to just walk away from her. She said, "Oh, please, do not come near a sinful woman such as I am." And yet he was just astonished that here she was by herself in the middle of the desert. So what happened? Well, what happened is he convinces her to tell her story. And her story is very much what I just said. And then she had come to the desert, and then for those 40 years she was in the desert, she only ate the very bread, crumbs that she had, and in the first few years, berries that she would find, grow wild berries in the desert, but she had no other source of food. And when he was talking to her, he looked out kind of the side of his eye, and he saw that she was literally hovering above the ground, that she was not touching the ground. And then he knew, you know, he knew that he had come across such a holy person, such a holy person. And so when we think about it in terms of this woman who had the bottle of ointment, who had come in, for one thing, it doesn't exactly say it in the scripture, but wherever the Lord went, when he sat at meat with the Pharisee, he was not alone. In fact, it was the custom at that time that one of the doors, the east door, would remain open, and people would gather sometimes outside because it was Jesus Christ inside. They would gather outside, and they would kind of watch and listen to what was being said. And this woman, who was a sinful woman, very much in the manner of St. Mary of Egypt, very sinful woman. And everybody, because it wasn't like it was hidden from anyone, everyone knew it. And yet she walked in and stood behind the Lord, stood facing the Lord where his feet were, and went down on her knees and began to weep and cry and lament her sinful life. And she took the hairs of her head and washed his feet with the very hairs of her head and would not cease to kiss his feet. And so the Pharisee, he's like, "How, doesn't this guy know what kind of woman this is? I mean, we all know it. Why doesn't he know it? How could he possibly be a prophet? How could he be somebody special?" And so what happens is this, that the Lord then says, you know, he gives the idea, if two people are forgiven their sins, one has more sins than the other, who's going to be the most appreciative? And because the Pharisee didn't really get it, he then explains, he says, this woman who is a sinner, a grave sinner, has from the time that I came in not ceased to wash my feet with the hairs of and dry them with the hairs of her head, and to kiss my feet, and to anoint my head with oil. And so she is repenting in the most deep, profound way that she knew how to repent. And the Lord hears her prayer, and the Lord hears her repentance, and he unlooses her, who is bound to this world. He unlooses the very locks and chains that would keep her bound to this world, because she is trading this world for paradise. And so he forgives her her sin. And for those who were askance that he was forgiving sins, he says, go in peace, thy sins be forgiven. And you see, she was free at that point. Like St. Mary of Egypt, she was free. She was not bound, no, she was not bound any longer. St. Simeon the New Theologian, in his book that was formerly called The Sin of Adam, when he talks about baptism and chrismation, he talks about being freed. When you are baptized, when you are chrismated, you literally were unchained to the sin of this world that you participated in. Literally, those locks and bolts and chains were cut, and you were free. And he says that no one ever need be locked again. No one ever be locked and chained to this world ever again, if all they do is repent. Repent for the grievous sin that you engaged in. Even those sins you engaged in prior to baptism, if you were an adult. Even though God forgives you your sin, you can never cease repenting. You must repent until your last breath for every sin that you have committed. And all those that you cannot remember because of their multitude and your forgetfulness, be on your knees weeping for those sins that you have committed in this world. That's what he calls us to when he brings up this story. And when the church brings up this story of St. Mary of Egypt and this woman who had an ointment of an alabaster box, he is showing us that through repentance, God not only forgives, but he blesses. He blesses. Remember, it says in the Canon of St. Andrew of Crete that Adam committed only one sin, and that was a sin of pride and disobedience and pride, two sins, but mostly vanity and pride. How many sins have we committed in our life just coming to church in the morning, just going home after church, just getting up every day? How often does your gaze wander from Jesus Christ? How often do you think about yourself before your neighbor? How often do you have a thought comes in that's not very suited for brotherly and sisterly love? You see, we have much to repent for, and so God gives us this season of repentance, Great Lent, to not only see our sins and the grievousness of them and the grievous nature of them, but to repent like this woman with the alabaster ointment, or like St. Mary of Egypt, who was so freed from the confines and the chains of this world that she literally floated off the ground. So we have this accounting, and we will be held accountable. And one of the things that we need to understand is that the only time that we have is the time that there is breath going in and out of our lungs and our heart is pumping. We do not want to be nearing our end, our last breath, having not repented for any sin that we've committed in this world. And so one of the beautiful things of Great Lent is the fact that God opens the door so we can see better. And being that we are still in Great Lent and we have Holy Week to still go, we have chance for even greater insight. People have asked me over the years, you know, we have a very, very wonderful Pascha celebration here. And I would just tell you that it electrifies. I can't tell you how it does it or what happens when it does it, but I can tell you that there's been many a Pascha where we've walked around the church two times, and then the third time going, "Well, Lord, you better, you know, they're expecting Christ is risen. Make sure you deliver." And of course he always does. And we proclaim it. It's the most amazing experience. But I learned that practice. I learned that how to keep that prayer going from my friends at Platina, Father Damascene, Father Grassam, when they were monks there. They taught by example. They taught through living the life of heroic virtue. They're such great men, and I feel blessed that I ever have even known them. But just to say that, do we have plenty to repent for? Yes. Do we find ourselves often chained to the things of this world, breaking the fast, lustful thoughts and desires, you name it, lying, cheating, telling, you know, missing church when you could come. Because church is a place that we gather as a unity, as a community of believers, and church is a place where we actually proclaim the glory of God together as, you know, two or more gathered in his name. So it's important that you come and you participate and you drink from the chalice, or as you prepare to be baptized and chrismated, that you are preparing yourself for that moment when you will be the first with your candle, your arms crossed, with your white robes on, and you will step up and you will receive that body and blood for the very first time. And we will ask you to cherish that moment for the rest of your life, because it is a worthy moment of being cherished. It reminds you, you think back on your baptism, all of you who have been baptized. Maybe you were baptized as a baby, but maybe there was a time when you had gone astray and you came back to the church and you were able to participate in the body and blood of Christ again. That you remember that moment when you had wandered and come back. That's why we have confession. So it's important that we understand, brothers and sisters, the need to pray, to fast, to give alms, but mostly at this time to repent, to repent, to repent. You know, lay your life down, give it to him, repent, be freed from the chains that bind you to this world, and glorify God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.